some good stuff for us to sing about and to confess together this morning. It's good to declare the love of God with you. So I also appreciate, you guys may not have been able to see Michael over here playing the bass, your new youth minister. He was over playing the bass. He was in the dark. We try to keep the pretty people in the middle, which is why Jeremy's up here in the middle, really, because we want everyone to see him. He's real pretty. But Michael, we keep him over in the shadows. But he did a great job, so we appreciate that worship team. Can you just give them a hand for this morning for leading us and serving us? So for the last several weeks, we have been in a series called Teach Us to Pray. We have been working through the model prayer that Jesus offered up. His disciples came to him and said, hey, can you teach us how to pray? He's like, sure. When you pray, pray like this. And he prayed the most famous prayer in all of Scripture. In fact, several of us probably have memorized it. At some point during our lives, we probably memorized the Lord's Prayer. And so we've been kind of digging through the Lord's Prayer and trying to discern, what does this mean for us? Like, what is Jesus' prayer trying to teach us about how we ought to pray? And we began last week with a section of the prayer that are their petitions. So they're all this section where we're asking God to do something. And the first two petitions are that God's kingdom would come and that his will be done. And so what Jesus, I believe, is telling us, what we talked about last week, was that the first thing that we should pray for is for God's will, right? The first thing we should pray for is that God's dreams for our world would come to pass. And so this week, though, we begin with a series of petitions that apply directly to our situation. So these petitions that we're about to get into today are personal. They're ones that kind of deal with where we are. So, and speaking of where we are, this last week I went to youth camp with our amazing students, and we had a blast. I love hanging out with teenagers and just had a fantastic time with them. Sometimes, though, I don't know if you've ever had this experience when you're hanging out with a teenager. Do you ever have this experience where they're talking to you and you know that they're saying words that you're supposed to understand, but you can't comprehend the words coming out of their mouth? Like all of the language that they're using is language that you've never used before and analogies that you've never used before. And so you're like, I want to understand you so badly, but I don't. Anybody ever had that experience? So I know as a parent, I have had that. I used to be the dean of students at Wayland. And man, it was really bad at Wayland. Like, I remember one time there was a kid in my office and we were talking about this incident that he had been involved in, and he was kind of in some trouble, but he was describing what happened to me, and he was like, yeah, this guy posted up on me, and I was like, you don't want this smoke. And he was like going through all this stuff, and I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Smoke? What smoke? Where's the fire? Like, I didn't know what he was talking about. Are we talking about basketball? Are we talking about camping? You know, I was really confused about everything that he was saying. And so sometimes I have that experience, right? And there was actually maybe a couple of years ago, it may not have even been that long ago, but there was this phrase that all of a sudden everyone was saying. And in fact, I think I heard it from the first time from my daughter Carson, but all of a sudden she was saying all the time, let's get this bread. Do you guys remember that? Let's get this bread. Everybody was saying that. I was like, I have no idea what that is. What bread? Where is the oven? I don't know what you're talking about right now. And it was super perplexing. So I decided to look up, what does let's get this bread mean? And so I wanted to understand, because I'm hip, you know, I'm with it. You know, I'm with the kids' lingo, you know, I'm cool. So I went out trying to discover what it meant. And the place that you go to find this is the Urban Dictionary. Did you know this? If you go to the Urban Dictionary, you can find what all the newest phrases mean. I caution you, they're going to tell you what it means, okay? And sometimes not super appropriate, but this one is okay, all right? Here's what it means according to the Urban Dictionary. Let's get this bread. When you rise and grind, hustle on the streets and earn that paper. That's what it means. I still don't know what it means. I still have no idea. So I think it means when you're working, right? When you're working real hard, and when you're out there really putting forth energy and trying to earn money, you know, I think that's what it's referring to. But you know, that's one of those situations where there's a definition that needs to be defined for me. So, but it's in moments like these that I realize how far removed from actual cool I actually am. You know, and maybe you have had that experience. But let's get this bread, right? And so that's a fascinating phrase. What happened was a couple of years ago, like on Tuesday, October the 16th, I don't know if you actually know this or not, but October the 16th is World Bread Day. And so on this day, people were posting memes about, let's get this bread. And suddenly it just blew up on Twitter. It went viral. And like every young person I knew was saying, let's get this bread so often that if I had had hair, I would have pulled it right out of my head because it was super annoying, right? Because that's what happens. But here's the thing. Let's get this bread, right? We're actually going to talk about bread today. Did you know that? That's what we're going to talk about. The only thing is, what we're going to talk about is like the exact opposite of what let's get this bread means, okay? And so so basically, I just spent a whole lot of time telling you about something that has no bearing on what we're about to talk about. That's pretty much what I'm saying. So, but no, we're talking about the exact opposite. Jesus prays in his model prayer, when he gets down to this section, he prays, give us this day our daily bread. So what in the world is Jesus talking about here? What does he mean by this? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this phrase, and we're just going to go through this phrase like one section at a time and try to discern what is it that Jesus is trying to talk to us about? How is it that Jesus wants for us to pray based on this passage of Scripture? Okay, so if we're going to do that, the first thing we got to look at is give us. The first two words, give us. And so when we look at what Jesus might be wanting for us to learn through this phrase, the first thing that we have to understand is that Jesus wants for us to be rooted in an understanding that everything we have comes from God. He is our sole provider. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're recognizing that everything that follows that give us, it comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. He is our provider. A few weeks ago, you may remember, we actually were reading in Genesis, and we were looking at a passage in Genesis chapter 22. And so it's this crazy passage where the Lord tells Abraham to go and sacrifice his only son, Isaac. You guys remember this? And so he's taking him up on the mountain, trying to be obedient to the Lord. And the Lord is making a point to him about how he doesn't, that child sacrifice, even though that was really popular in the culture that Abraham lived in, was not going to be the way he did things, right? And so he gets up there and the angel's like, no, Abraham, don't do it. I've provided a sacrifice. You guys remember this? In Genesis 22. At beginning of verse 13, this is what it says. Then Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And so Abraham, several different times in his life, but in this particular passage of Scripture especially, Abraham learns that God is his sole provider, that everything he needs, God is going to provide it. He's going to provide it at exactly the right time. And so there are multiple moments in Abraham's life where this truth becomes clear, but in this one, it's brought painfully home to him, right? God is the one that I trust for my provision. And that, y'all, that's what it means to have faith in God, to trust God. We understand that all we have, every good gift, comes from God. So, since it comes from God, since it all belongs to God, right, then that means it also all must be yielded to God. And I think that's where we sometimes have trouble, right? One way that you could look at it, in churches, have you ever heard this? Churches talk about stewardship. You ever heard that word stewardship? It's a fancy word that if you grew up in church, you heard it a billion times. And if you're like me, you're like, I have no idea what that means. It's kind of like, let's get this bread. Totally confusing. So if you've not been in church and I'm saying this big word and you wonder what it means, let me explain it to you. So stewardship means a steward in the ancient world was a person who was caring for a kingdom until the king, a lot of times when a king was too little to take the throne, they were too young to take the throne, a steward would be in place. place, and that steward was supposed to guard the kingdom, protect the kingdom until the king was old enough to take the throne. Or like if the king was going to go off to war, like if the king was going to go in the Crusades, like in the Middle Ages, these kings from Europe would go on these Crusades. They would leave for sometimes years at a time. They would leave a steward in charge. The steward was to take care of the kingdom until the king returned. And so what it's important for you and I to understand, when Jesus used this word, when he used this word and give us, right, he's acknowledging everything that we have belongs to the Lord. Everything that we see in this world belongs to the Lord. All of it is his, all of it. And he's given it to us to steward. We're to care for it. Even though it belongs to him, right? We're to care for it. We're to use it as he desires for us to use it. Because it's not ours. It's his. And everything we need in order to exist and to thrive, all of that is going to come from God. He's going to provide it because he owns it all. One of my dad's favorite movies is Shenandoah. Do you guys remember this movie? It's an old movie. There's a few of us here who know about this movie, but it's a great movie. It's about the Civil War period, and in the beginning of this movie, like, this family is sitting around, they're hanging out, they're eating dinner together. It's their normal family meal, okay? And the dad prays over the meal, okay? And this is what he prays. He's like, Lord, thank you for this food that the sweat of my brow has provided. I have worked really hard to make sure that all of this food that we have, it was on this table, and because of my hard work, our family has something to eat. And so thank you that we have this food that I provided, that I grew and that I worked hard for and that I provided. That's what he prays. And the whole movie is about how that attitude in him is actually crushed out of him by the experiences that he has. His sons go off into the Civil War, and then he thinks that they're all dead. And I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but it's a beautiful movie, and the end of it is just a real heart, you know, breaker, tearjerker. You should watch it sometime. But this attitude that he had, he's praying. He's like, Lord, thank you for this bounty that I have provided. Now look, I don't think that any of us, when we sit down for a meal, we probably don't say that prayer to the Lord, right? None of us are like, thank you, Lord, because it was almost like tongue-in-cheek or sarcastic. We would never pray, God, thank you, I guess, for all this food that I actually have worked for, that you didn't do anything for, that I'm the one who did, right? None of us would pray that prayer, right? And consciously, probably, we don't think that we think that way, but let me say, I believe that subconsciously, a lot of us think about our lives that way. I mean, we get that paycheck every week, and it's direct deposited into our bank account every week, and we're like, yeah, I earned that money. I'm entitled to all that money that I earned. I'm entitled to be able to use that however I want to use it because it's my money that I earned. And we walk in the front door of our house, and we're like, man, this is my house that I bought. The sweat off of my brow paid for this house. Paid for all the furniture and the fixings in it. Like, I'm entitled to use this house however I want to use it. I'm entitled to use my cars however I want to use it. Those are my cars. I bought them. My money that I earned bought those, right? This is how we live our lives. And what Jesus wants for us to understand is that none of that is actually true. Everything that we have is given to us by God. Not just given to us, friends. Given to us by God to use for the purposes of his kingdom. It doesn't belong to us. We're not entitled to use it however we want, to spend it however we want. That's not the way it works. It all comes from God. It all belongs to God. We get to steward it. And this is an important thing that we learn about in Scripture. And it's an important truth that we've got to get through. Now, I know, look, like somebody here this morning, especially if you haven't grown up in church, you might have heard this a lot. Somebody here this morning is like, Brad, you need to back up. Don't be telling me how to spend my money. Don't be talking to me about what I can and cannot do with my money. You don't have the right to talk to me about that stuff. It's mine. I earned it, right? You can back up now. And we get so weird whenever we start to talk about money, don't we? And our possessions, we get real weird about it. That's mine. Don't talk to me about it. You know, I don't want to have a conversation about it. But here's the thing, guys. There are literally thousands of verses in Scripture that talk to us about our possessions and about our money. There are 90 verses in Scripture that talk to us about prayer. Thousands that talk to us about our possessions and our money. God clearly cares about what we do with what He's given us. And I'm not being a good pastor to you if I don't ever talk to you about it. It's important that we have a conversation about that. And this lesson, this truth is absolutely as difficult for me and as painful for me to learn as it is for anybody in this room. But I want for you to know the truth of Scripture, the truth that God has for us, is that everything we have belongs to God. And the only reason we have it is because He's entrusted it to us to steward. And we got to have that conversation. We've got to be honest about what Scripture says. And I'm committed to you guys. I'm not going to stand up here and I'm not going to paint any kind of picture about where we are or about what's going on in our lives that is not rooted in Scripture. I have to tell you the truth because I love you and because I'm your pastor. And that's the truth. It's important for us to know that. To recognize that, to understand that. It all belongs to God. So when we pray this prayer, it means that we're acknowledging that God is our provider and that God is Yahweh Yireh, right? He is our provider and He is good. Look at Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. And in this passage, right, David is writing this psalm, and it's about how the Lord is protecting him and providing for him when he's running for his life. So Saul is after him, trying to kill him, and David's running for his life, right? And he writes Psalm 34. Listen to what he says in verse 8 through 10. Listen to this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His godly people, for those who fear Him have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. God is our provider, and guess what else? He is good. He's good. He promises us that when we trust Him, when we follow Him, we will not lack anything that we need. We will lack no good thing. This is not me saying this. I'm not telling you this. This is not the gospel according to Brad. That's what the Bible says. We're to place our trust in Him. We're to remember and understand that everything we have comes from Him. If we do that, He can be trusted to be our provider. He can be trusted to care for us. Even in dark and dangerous circumstances, you hear me? Somebody out there this morning, right now, you're facing a difficult time. You're facing a difficult time, and it's with, and maybe it has to do with some of the things that God has entrusted you. Maybe it has to do with your job. Maybe there's something going on at work that's making you feel unsettled, unsteady about your future and about how you're going to provide for your family or about what you're going to do. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe there's someone here and what God has entrusted to you are your precious children. And you're super unsteady. You're super concerned because it feels like something's going on and there's something that's making you doubt or worry about the future with these wonderful people that God has entrusted to you as a steward. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're staring at the bills and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. God is Yahweh Yireh. He is your source of provision. We can trust Him because He is good. And when we trust Him, we will lack no good thing. Now, there's some people that quote that verse to you, and they'll be like, yeah, you know what that says? That says you will lack no good thing. And so that means that every person, if we just have enough faith, right, we'll have a big old mansion and a couple of Mercedes-Benz in the driveway, right? And we have big screen TVs in every room, right? They'll tell you that. If we have enough faith, then God's just going to take money buckets and pour it out on us. That's not what the Lord said. He said, you'll lack no good thing. And friends, if you'll bear with me, if you let me tell you another truth this morning, sometimes the things we think are good are not actually good. Sometimes the worst thing that could happen to us is for buckets of money to be poured out on us. Money destroys sometimes. It pulls us away from the Lord. It's not always good. Possessions can become our idol. We can end up worshiping those. It's not always good. You know what's good? The presence of God. My relationship with my wife. My relationship with my daughters. That's what's good. And our God promises that we will lack no good thing if we trust Him. Some of us have a trust in the wrong place. And we have misidentified some things in our life as good that are not actually good. And if we can surrender it to God, He will show us. He'll reveal to us what things are good and what things aren't. So when we pray, y'all, we acknowledge that God is the source of everything that we have. What does that mean? How do I do that? Well, let me tell you. First thing, we bring our needs before the Lord. If there's something that we lack, if there's something that we need, we tell our good Father because He loves to provide for us. Second thing is we yield our possessions to God. How many of us have done that, right? I know in my life I struggle with this. If I brought all my possessions before the Lord and I said, Lord, these are things I know that You have given me. I want to use them as You say that I should use them. They belong to You. Tell me what I'm supposed to do with them. Tell me how I use them for the sake of Your kingdom. And the last thing, we express gratitude for the gifts that God has given us. If we understand that everything that we have comes from the Lord, we're grateful for what it is that He's given us, aren't we? And it's that gratitude that deepens our relationship with Christ. So give us this day our daily bread. This day. What does Jesus mean by that? Give us this day. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon in all of history, okay? And He's preaching this sermon, and He's explaining to people the way that the kingdom of God works. And in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 31, Jesus says this. He says, so don't worry about these things. He's just talked about about what we wear and what we eat and where we live. He just talked about all those things. And He says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow brings its own worries. Today is trouble enough for today. So here's Jesus telling us that God wants us to live in the moment. Give us this day. He doesn't want for our energy to be overly consumed with thinking about the future. He doesn't want for our energy to be overly consumed with dealing with our past. He wants us to live in the moment, to be able to look around and see what He's actively doing in our lives right now, today, at this moment. And many of us, many of the people that Jesus was preaching to were people who literally were living day to day. Like they, every day, we don't, in America, a lot of us, especially here in Shallow Water, we don't understand this, right? But did you know that there are literally billions of people in the world right now who, when they wake up in the morning, they have no idea how they're gonna eat. They have no idea where their daily bread is going to come from. Jesus was talking to people like that. Did you know there are billions of people in our world right now that are living every day on less than $2 a day? They're trying to survive. And it's a daily struggle for them to survive. Every morning when they wake up, they've got to hustle. They've got to work. They've got to grind, like we talked about before, so that they can eat. There are people who, that's how they live. There are people in the United States of America right now. There are people just down the road from our church. That's how they're living. And Jesus is talking to them because he knows this is what you're doing. This is what you're dealing with. And so he's like, look, be in the moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let me handle it. Okay? Don't pile on worries onto the worries that you have today. Don't be anxious about the future. I've got it. I've got it. And he's talking to people who knew that. And many of us have been forced to be in a situation like that, where we don't know what it's going to be. We're living almost moment to moment. And sometimes it has to do with our financial situation or our financial resources. Sometimes it has to do with we're experiencing some awful heartache, awful loss. Anybody ever been here? I don't know how I'm going to make it through the rest of the day because my heart is crushed to the point with grief to the point of death. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to survive the day because I'm so hurt and I'm so sad. Anybody ever been there? And we don't know how we're going to, what resources we can pull on to get us through each day. If you're there this morning, sometimes we think of that as a curse. We think of it as, man, this is an awful, terrible time. I can't wait to get out of this period, right? Where I'm just trying to fight to survive each moment, each day. Sometimes we think of it as a curse. What if it's a blessing? What if the Lord, in the midst of our grief, is teaching us to depend on him? What if God is showing us that he can be trusted to give us the strength and the resources that we need to survive moment by moment? If you're struggling today, if you don't know how you're going to survive the day, if you're waking up every morning thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through today, if that's where you are today, I just want you to hear me say, the Lord can speak to you and use you and cause you to grow in the midst of that in ways that you could never have imagined. It breaks God's heart that you're in that situation. He doesn't want you to be facing that. He doesn't want you to be dealing with all of that grief, but he can use it. He can use it. I think some of us, because we've never had to be in that situation, we don't know what it means to really depend on God. And some of us, that's our problem, is we've never had to really trust God for everything. Sometimes we let our worries pile up. We tend to think about the challenges that are coming. We let our anxiety about those challenges control us. And Jesus is telling us to stay in this day, to fully experience the joys of this day, to fully contend with the challenges of this day. Living the life of faith requires that we are present, that we don't allow our imagining of what might come to cloud our experience of what is right in front of us. There's an amazing book that you all ought to read, okay? It's called 1,000 Gifts. It's by Ann Voskamp. It's a beautiful book. And in this book, like out of some serious family tragedy, okay, that Ann Voskamp was dealing with, out of some serious family tragedy, there's this painful thing that happened in her past that had just been hanging over her for most of her life. And she didn't even realize it, that it was always there. But this grief, this sadness, this hurt was hanging over her for her whole life. And the Lord began to deal with her about it. And this is how the Lord wanted, this is how the Lord dealt with her. This is what he called her to do. She got a notebook, and the Lord told her to just write down in that notebook all of the ways that God was blessing her, all of the things that she had in her life to be thankful for. And she'd just carry that notebook around with her wherever she went. And every time she would notice something to be grateful for, she'd write it down. I'm grateful for the sun shining through my windows. I'm grateful for the flowers that are springing up in my garden. I'm grateful for the laughter of my children. I'm grateful for the meal that we're able to eat together as a family. She just wrote them down. 1,000 gifts every day that God had given her. And he was teaching her to live in the moment, to look around and see what God was doing in her life in every moment. And I believe there's somebody here today, and you need to hear that. Because like Ann Voskamp, there's something in your past, something painful in your past that has been hanging over everything that you do, every moment of your life. And because of this thing, this hurt in your past, you're not able to really discern, to see the beauty that God is producing all around you. And the word of the Lord today is that God wants you to pray, give us this day. Somebody else here this morning who you deal with anxiety, you're always worried about the future, you're a planner, you know, and you're always worried about what's coming next. And right now in your life, there are things going on that really are giving you cause for anxiety. And it's difficult, if not impossible, for you to focus on the joy, on the blessing of this day because you're so worried about what might happen. There are some of us who have been given the gift of imagining the worst case scenario in every situation. Anybody out there? Raise your hand. You know, if you're that person, you always imagine the worst possible thing that could happen, right? And because of that, you're always worried about what might happen next in all of your relationships and your work and every situation. And the word of the Lord for you today is how Jesus is saying, pray like this. Give us this day. This day. When we pray, we focus our hearts on our immediate situation. What does that mean? How do we do that? Well, let me give you a few pointers, okay? The first would be ask God to help us to clear our minds of our worries about our future. Ask God to help us focus on the blessings around us today. Maybe you need a notebook like Ann Voskamp, a spiral notebook that you're carrying around where you're just writing down. Every time you see a blessing, you write it down. Ask God for the strength to face the challenges of this day. If we do those things, right, then that's us focusing our hearts on our immediate situation. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. There's a couple things that are going on in this passage with this daily bread, this idea of daily bread. One thing is that in the Roman world, especially in the city of Rome, every day, most of the world, the overwhelming majority of the world were slaves and peasants. And there was a few, I know this is nothing like our world today, but most of the power and most of the economic power and political power and everything else was held in the hands of like 1% of the population. Now, we don't know anything about what that's like today. Our world doesn't operate like that. But in that day, it totally did, right? The 1% held it all, right? And so what these 1%ers would do, they would compete for the right to be able to provide bread for those poor, you know, poor souls, you know, that lived in the kingdom. And so they would literally buy daily bread. Every day, a peasant could go to the bread line, they could pick up some bread, right? And that was their bread, that was their food for the day, that the people who lived in the ivory towers of their society would graciously give to all of the peons that lived in their world, right? And so that's the way it worked. There was daily bread that these power people in Rome would provide. Also, a traveler in the ancient Middle East, did you know this? A traveler would save their last little bit of bread when they were traveling at night. They would save it for the next morning. They would eat it for breakfast. And when they ate it for breakfast the next day, they would say, God, please provide me some bread for today. I saved this from last night, but please provide this bread, me some bread to eat for the rest of the day. So every day a traveler, we don't know what that's like because we travel with credit cards, right? But in the ancient world, they didn't have that, right? And so most travelers, when they were out on the road traveling, sometimes long distances, weeks, months at a time, every morning they would eat a piece of bread and then they would say, Lord, I'm trusting you for how I'm going to eat the rest of the day. And so that's how they travel. It was daily bread. But the main illusion here, guys, is this amazing thing that God did in the Old Testament for his people Israel when they were out in the wilderness. They didn't have any food to eat. And so they're complaining, Lord, you let us out here, Lord, the Israelites, you let us out here. Even though he had parted the Red Sea, right? Even though he'd done all these powerful things, they'd be like, well, now here we are in the middle of the wilderness and the Lord's obviously just going to leave us to die, right? And so what the Lord did was he provided this thing called manna. And if you're not a church person, right, then you might not know anything about this. But it's super weird. We don't really know much about it, except for it appeared on the ground every morning, manna. The word manna literally means, it's literally translated, what is it, right? Because when they walked out, they saw it on the ground, like, what's that? Okay, that's what we're going to call it. And so every day, the Lord would provide food for them to eat, for the children of Israel to eat. And here's the thing, he would provide food for that day. If you picked up more food than you needed for that day, it rotted and it got maggots in it and you couldn't, and it was disgusting and it smelled up your whole house the next day, right? The only time you could pick up extra was on the Sabbath, right? On Friday before the Sabbath on Saturday, you could pick up extra so that you didn't have to gather on Saturday because manna didn't appear on the ground on Saturday, on Sabbath day, right? And so God provided food for everyone for that day. And that's the illusion here, daily bread. That's what these people who Jesus was preaching to, they would have immediately thought of that. I know about that. That's manna. That was our daily bread that our forefathers received from the Lord. And so this part of the prayer reminds us of a couple of things. And please hear me, okay? Please hear me. The first thing is that God will provide for our needs. He can be trusted to give us what we need for each day. But here's the second thing it means, and I need for all of us to catch this, because sometimes we don't catch it in this passage. The second thing that it's reminding us of is we can't and we shouldn't focus our lives, the energy of our lives, on compiling wealth. I mean, we can store up a bunch of wealth, but when we're focused on compiling wealth, that leads to ruin. And when that's the focus of our lives, is piling up money for ourselves, right? That creates sickness in our hearts that can destroy us. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray that to the Lord, that's what we're saying. So there's an understanding in all of Scripture that God doesn't want to bless us with material wealth. He does. He loves to do that, and He will. Some of us have received blessings like that from the Lord, right? But when that's the focus of our lives, it leads to ruin. And you don't need for me to tell you that. All you have to do is just go. You know, you want to just go take a look at the Kardashians, for crying out loud. I mean, anybody want to be like that? And that's what wealth sometimes does. And we pursue wealth, we pursue fame, and we pursue notoriety. What it does is it actually destroys us. It doesn't help us. But God does love to bless us, right? He does love to do that. But here's the thing. God gives us what we need for each day. He provides what we need for each day. Anything over what we need are things He's given us to use for the sake of His kingdom. Anything over what we need to get through the day, that's something that He's given us to use for the sake of His kingdom. And so I just want to challenge all of us, myself included, to begin to understand God's gift and God's abundance in that way. God loves to give over and abundantly more than what we could ask or imagine. He loves to do that. But He's not just given those gifts for no reason. He's giving us over and above abundantly more than we could ask or imagine because He's got a dream for it. He wants to use that for purposes in His world, and He wants to use it for purposes in our hearts and in our lives. And if we're just all about piling it up so that we can use it for ourselves, it'll destroy us. Maybe there's someone here that as soon as I said that, right, like you kind of responded, like maybe defensively, like, what, back up, Brad, don't, you know. Is it possible, I just want to lovingly suggest this because I care about you. Is it possible that maybe we've been piling up stuff, and maybe those seeds of greed, materialism, have begun to settle in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit's trying to convict us, no, that's not the way I want you to live. When I want your money to control you, your pursuit of wealth to control you, I want for you to be a blessing with what I've given you. Is that possible? What would it look like if we chose to live our lives according to that truth? Give us this day our daily bread. What would that look like? How would our lives change? What would our checking account look like, right? If that was different. So when we pray, we trust God to meet our needs. What does that mean? How do we do that? Two things. First, we trust God with what we need, right? But second, we surrender to God our abundance. We surrender to God our abundance. And look, I know as soon as I say that word surrender, it's almost a dirty word in our culture, isn't it? You know, don't tell me to surrender anything. I will never surrender. I will fight to the end. You know, that's how we choose it. Come and take it. You know, we're Texans, right? That's how we live, right? I'm not going to surrender. But guys, can I just tell you, the foundation of the Christian life is surrender. And sometimes in the church, we love to talk about surrendering our lives, surrendering our dreams for our future, surrendering our plans. But sometimes we don't always like to talk about surrendering our possessions, surrendering our income. That's harder to talk about. I believe that's a part of the whole thing that God is doing in our lives, y'all. I believe He wants that from me. I believe He wants that from you. He wants it from you because He loves you. And He wants for His heart to beat in you. He wants for His dreams to live in you. He wants for you to be engaged and involved in the work of His kingdom. That's what He wants for all of us. And if we don't choose to live this way, we're going to be building our own kingdoms. We're setting ourselves up as rulers. We're going to be bowing before altars that are not our God. And I love you. And I have to tell you that. So, let's ask the Lord to reveal to us if there's any unhealth in our lives in relationship to God's provision for us. Would you be bold enough to pray that prayer with me this week, to do these things that we talked about today? We're going to gather together on Facebook. There'll be some videos posted like we've been doing every week where we're going to pray these things before the Lord and ask God to speak to us. Would you join me in that? And let's do that together this week. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for your truth, God. Sometimes your truth it's not easy for us to hear, but we want it. We desire your truth. We know that our truth, the things that we think of as truth in our own lives, we can't trust it. It can sometimes lead us to places that are destructive, that are harmful for us. We've got to trust in you, God. And so even right now, sometimes we're thinking about how do we practically live this out in our lives, and we're confused about it. We're going to need your wisdom to show us how to practically live these truths out in our lives. But we know you can show us. We know you can reveal your truth to us. We trust you to do it. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So listen, thank you for letting me share these truths of God. Sometimes if I'm a pastor and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, we got to talk about some hard things, you know? And I believe today's one of those things. But thank you for receiving this from the Lord and listening to it and allowing the Lord to speak to us. And so here's how we're going to end our service today. If you would, stand up with me. And we're just going to pray the model prayer together. And we're going to let these words wash over us. So pray this prayer with me. The words are going to be up on the screen. But let's just read it together, all right? And let's allow the Lord's truth to speak to our hearts this morning. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right, so if you thought this week was uncomfortable, come back next week and we'll talk about forgiveness, right? That'll be great, right? All right, I love you guys. I'm so grateful to be your pastor. It's an honor and a privilege for me. Have a great week and we'll see you next Sunday.
Songs of loudest praise. Teach me so.